I love Christmas. I love everything about this time of year. The decorations, the music, the lights, the stories, the spirit that pervades our world at this time of year, all of it. I love it. I love Santa Claus. Santa Claus, I think, represents the absolute best of us. All of our ideals of hope and love and joy and peace, all wrapped up in the all-consuming image of a fat, jolly old elf with 8 reindeer and a penchant for cookies and milk. I love Santa Claus. I love it because in this time of year, when our world seems filled with such strife and anger and tension, in many ways, we all get to be Santa Claus. We all get to make someone happy, make someone joyful by giving. Giving of ourselves to another, reminding people that they are loved and accepted, a part of something more than themselves. Often on Christmas Eve, I'll share the story of the editorial written in a newspaper in 1897 that became famously known as Yes, Virginia, There Is a Santa Claus. The story goes that young 8-year-old Virginia O'Hanlon had written to the editor of the paper asking if there was a Santa Claus. The editor's response became the most republished editorial in history. He wrote back assuring Virginia that Santa was very real and was a part of our world as sure as the wonders of childhood. Having been told by some of her friends that Santa wasn't real, this is what he wrote. Virginia, your little friends are wrong. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist. And you know that they abound and give to your life its highest beauty and joy. Alas, how dreary would our world be if there was no Santa Claus. It would be as dreary as if there were no Virginias. There would be no childlike faith then, no poetry, no romance to make tolerable this existence. We should have no enjoyment except in sense and sight, the eternal light with which childhood fills the world would be extinguished. The story of Santa Claus comes to us from many different places, many different legends, many different figures in history have contributed to Santa. There was the Turkish bishop who would visit poor families and left money for the daughters of these poor families to use for their marriage dowry. Maidens began to hope so much for a visit from him that they would leave stockings hung on the windowsill that he might come by. There was the 16th century Father Christmas, a bearded man in green robes that brought revelry and good cheer at Christmas time. There were the Nordic tales of Odin with long white beard riding his steed through the winter night for the Germanic celebration called Yule. All of these tales paint the picture of someone better than our normal selves, someone generous and happy, gracious and joyful, who comes into people's lives to make them better, to make them happier, to make them more. There is something about Christmas, something that calls us home, that calls us back to God. This thing is magical and mystical, and it might as well just be Santa Claus. Santa embodies all that this season is, a time to love one another, to be kinder, to be gentler, to hope more, to be at peace more. That Santa comes to touch lives and bring joy and happiness to the world through our children is perhaps the magical element that makes this season so much more. We are different at Christmas, better, Something about this time of year makes us generous even in our own scarcity. Something about this time of year makes us graceful even at our own expense. Something about this time of year makes us kinder, sometimes even against our will. I want to read you a story. This is one of those stories that got forwarded to me in an email. One, something I usually brush past and delete. And for some reason, I stopped to read this story this time. It's gone around before. Many of you may have seen or heard of it, but it touched me this Christmas season. It made me remember what is so magical about this time of year. It made me remember why we love Santa so much. And so I want to share it with you. I remember my first Christmas adventure with Grandma. I was just a kid. I remember tearing across town on my bike to visit her on the day my big sister had dropped a bomb on me. "There is no Santa," she jeered. "Even dummies know that." My grandma was not the gushy kind. She never had been. I fled to her that day because I knew that she would be straight with me. I knew Grandma always told the truth, and I knew the truth always went down a whole lot easier when swallowed with one of her world-famous cinnamon rolls. I knew they were world-famous because Grandma said so. So it had to be true. Grandma was home. The rolls were still warm. Between bites, I told her everything, what my sister had said. She was ready for me. "No Santa Claus," she snorted. "That's ridiculous. Don't believe it. That rumor has been going around for years, and it makes me mad, plain mad. Now put on your coat and let's go." "Go? Go where, Grandma?" I asked. I hadn't even finished my second world-famous cinnamon roll, but she was already headed to the car. Where turned out to be Kirby's General Store, the one store in town that had a little bit of just about everything. As we walked through its doors, Grandma handed me $10. That was a lot in those days. "Take this money," she said, "and buy something for someone who needs it. I'll wait in the car." Then she turned and walked out of Kirby's. I was only 8 years old. I'd often gone shopping with my mother, but I'd never shopped for anything all by myself. The store seemed big and crowded, full of people scrambling to finish their Christmas shopping. For a few moments, I stood there confused, clutching that $10 bill, wondering what to buy and who on earth would I buy it for. I thought of everybody I knew, my family, my friends, my neighbors, the kids at school, the people who went to our church. I was just about thought out when suddenly I thought of Bobby Decker. Bobby Decker was a kid with bad breath and messy hair. He sat right behind me in Miss Pollock's grade 2 class. Bobby Decker didn't have a coat. I knew that because he never went out for recess during the winter. His mother always wrote a note telling the teacher he had a cough. But we all knew that Bobby Decker didn't have a cough. He didn't have a coat. I fingered the $10 bill with growing excitement. I would buy Bobby Decker a coat. I settled on a red corduroy one that had a hood to it. It looked real warm, and he would like that. I took the coat to the checkout, placed it and the $10 bill on the counter. The salesperson looked at the coat and the money and asked, "Is this a Christmas present for someone?" "Yes, ma'am," I replied. "It's for Bobby." The nice lady smiled at me as I told her about how Bobby really needed a good winter coat and I was going to buy him one for Christmas. I didn't get any change back. But she put the coat in a bag, smiled again, wished me a Merry Christmas. That evening, Grandma helped me wrap the coat in Christmas paper and ribbons. As we did, the price tag fell out of the coat. My grandmother picked it up, without looking at it, placed it in her Bible. We wrote on the present, "To Bobby, from Santa Claus." Grandma said that Santa always insisted on secrecy. Then she drove me over to Bobby Decker's house, explaining as we went that I was now and forever officially one of Santa's helpers. Grandma parked down the street from Bobby's house, and she and I crept noiselessly and hid in the bushes by his front walk. Then Grandma gave me a nudge. "All right, Santa Claus," she whispered, "get going." I took a deep breath, dashed for his front door, threw the present down in his step, pounded on the door, and flew back to the safety of the bushes and Grandma. Together, we waited breathlessly in the darkness for the front door to open. Finally, it did, and there stood Bobby. The years since haven't dimmed the thrill in those moments spent shivering beside my grandma in Bobby Decker's bushes, watching him pick up that present and discover with excitement that it was for him. That night, I realized that all those awful rumors about Santa Claus were just what Grandma had said they were. Ridiculous. Santa was alive and well, and we were on his team. Years later, my grandmother passed away. She left me her old, tattered Bible. As I looked through it, I found that old price tag from Kirby's General Store marking the page with John 1, verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among them." The price tag said, "Kirby's coat, $29.95. Amen. And Merry Christmas.